Hello and welcome to the Nine News podcast Short Corner, our bite-sized discussion of the latest AFC Wimbledon news. I am Nick Draper, joined by Stuart Deakins and Wimbledon first team manager Glyn Hodges. The decision on how to end the 1920 League One season has finally been made. The campaign has been curtailed, with final league places determined by unweighted points per game, which, as a result, confirms our place in League One for next season. The outcome was decided by a vote of all League One clubs, in which 18 clubs voted for curtailment and 4 against, with Southend having abstained. Glyn, in your opinion, was the right decision reached?
Yes, I think so. I mean, the longer it went on, I think the smart money was on finishing the season, and we all wanted to finish the season, but the later and later and later it got, it was proving really difficult to do. So I think it's the right decision. Obviously, disappointed for the Tranmere to go down in the manner they did, and Southend and Bolton, and people missing out on the playoffs such as Peterborough. But you know, that's I think everyone voted, so you can't grumble, and we move on, and you know, hopefully we don't ever get ourselves in this position again.
There were 94 days between our last game, or what turned out to be our last game of the season at home to Bolton, and a decision to be made on how to end the season. Was it fair that the decision took that long to reach?
No, not at all. That was the crazy. It was a bit of a circus, you know. There was meetings after meetings. I was speaking to the LMA. We were having managers' meetings, and it was just too long-winded. I don't know. I think you know, you've got to look at the EFL, whether they're waiting for the Premier League, whether the Premier League were waiting for guidance from the government. Honestly, I don't know. But like you say, it's unprecedented. So you've just got to sit tight, be patient, and be ready to go. But you know, for that amount of time to make that decision, I'm sure, you know, it could have been done a lot quicker.
We obviously heard about all the owners and stuff like that who were involved in the votes. We sometimes forget that managers also have to be involved in that. So you spoke a little bit earlier about LMA. So have you spoken to any other League One managers, and what has their reaction been to it?
You know, they're all the same. I think it was all about individual agendas. That's what it came down to. And that's probably what took it so long to be done. And that's quite understandable. We'd probably be fighting for our lives if we was in that position as well, you know, of either a playoff or a relegation battle. So, you know, it's just, you know, it's took its time, but it's done. You know, it's just move forward and forget about it and draw a line under it and see how we go forward. It's going to be a test of our resources and test of everybody, every club, to see, to make sure we get through this as unscathed as possible and come out the other side, making sure that we're all still here this time next year, all the clubs are still in existence.
Points per game has been a very familiar topic. We on the podcast, to be fair, we're always looking at points per game anyway, so it's nothing new on that. So we ended with an average of one point per game. Tranmere just slightly under 94. However, since you come in took charge, points per game was 1.28. Before we come in, was 0.3. So what do you attribute our improved form too?
Well, I mean, you know, when thinking back, I mean, I've been doing, obviously looking at back and looking at clips and watching lots of things back, and so I've been doing it today. You know, you look at the start of the season, the 10 games, we ended up with only 2 points, but the home games against Accrington, Wickham and Shrewsbury, well, we could have won them games, and it probably would have been one or two goals. Maybe you win one or two of them, and then it's a confidence thing. You know, it's it just gives it that little thought. The longer we went without the win was obviously making things difficult. And even the away games, the defeats Bristol at home and Rotherham, we was even in that game, you know. So, and you can look at the away games, Ipswich and Coventry, there were opportunities, although it was in a fighting chance, it wasn't comfortable. But, you know, we was doing okay. Then I think the second half against Peterborough, you know, coming out the second half, and the way the boys played, you know, that they seem to have, you know, obviously key players back, Woody and Mitch come on, and then it just set the tone, and they just enjoyed themselves, had a little bit of confidence, and then the run after that with the 4 wins just proved that you just needed to get your foot over the line. All right, the Rochdale was a 3-2, but it wasn't a 3-2, that was a 4-1. You know, that was a good idea, and all of, you know, it looks on paper as a 3-2. But then bang, away we went. And it was just a matter of confidence and getting the job done, which we did. So, you know, I'm pleased that when you think about it, if you take them first 10 games off, we've got our points, you know, apart from them two in 25 games. So, you know, it was vital. And And, you know, just saying maybe Marcus Forsyth stayed fit, you know, we might have been, I'm sure we'd have been in a far safer position. So, end of the day, you know, we're really pleased with the outcome.
Points per game coming in meant that really, obviously, you tail end, you plan your season to make sure you finish as well as you can naturally. However, if you look at our finish in the last sort of like from February beginning, we actually had some really tough games. Ipswich at home, Rotherham away, Oxford, obviously the midweek game, Blackpool, and our final win against Gillingham. How do you look upon them now? Because at the time, of course, you want to try and get as many points as you can, but they were really pivotal, weren't they?
We've been lost, I think it was one defeat in our last six, and you look at the opponents who we played, you're right, you look at it, and I'm looking back today, I've looked at the Gillingham and Max's goal at Rotherham. And you look and you think, you know, you don't at the time, you know, you just think it's a great result. Let's kick on. But I mean, now it's important they are. They're massive games for some massive points. So you know, we did have some good runs. I think, you know, we was undefeated from October the 5th to December the 29th at home till Oxford beat us, and then we went on and I think we only lost one or two after that. So there were key points and pivotal times in the season, but you're right, I think the last six games, the points we took at the last six games, I mean, even the one that the Bolton Quezzy's goal was onside, that could have been, that was a luck, you know, luck of the draw, so it might have been a bit more comfortable and it was a bit tighter than it seemed, but you know, again, it doesn't matter, you do know, there's no paintings or pictures on a season, it's just getting them points and getting a foot over the line. And you know, again it's all about confidence and what we did the last six games against the teams of the calibre we played. You know, we've got to remember that when we come back next season, whenever that will be.
So, Coventry Crown champions, and we just spoke about Rotherham, a 2-2 draw. They got automatic promotion. So, playoffs are Wickham, Oxford, Pompey and Fleetwood. Who do you fancy to win promotion out of those four?
Well, I mean, I didn't want to mention this result or this team, but they done the double overs and gave us a good eye, and Oxford would take some beating. The way they played against us Tuesday night over, you know, away, you know, that was the best performance that I'd seen since I've been back in Division One by country mile, in League One by country mile. But don't rule out Fleetwood as sneaky. It'd be good. I'm looking forward to it. You know, Fleetwood have come from nowhere. They're difficult to beat. You know, so, you know, I might be Oxford first. I mean, Kenny Jacket won't be too happy at Pompey, but Oxford followed by Fleetwood. But, you know, it's all there, and it's up in the air. It'd be great. Looking forward to it.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because it, for me, it's like a mini pre-season tournament, because we've been off since the beginning of March, haven't we? So the form goes out the window. It's literally a case of they've had, 3 weeks training? They're going to be rusty, but how would you fancy if you're in that position, being rusty going into, you know, in the playoffs, if you're out of it in the first game, that's it, gone.
I mean, what the plus for them, I suppose, is if they had the injuries that we had, obviously Will's fit now, PK's fit, Paul Cunnaby's fit, Paul Osu's fit. I mean, you look at it and a bit longer, maybe, you know, maybe Marcus Forbes might have still been, if it had been with us, he might have been able to get back. So everyone have probably got a full squad to choose from, so they'd be happy with that. And again, it's a luck of the draw, like you say, form goes out the window, but they've got an abundance of good players and you know, naturally they win you the game. So, you know, it's exciting, and at least we can sit here relaxed knowing we're in League One next year, and I can enjoy watching the fair on the TV.
And we ourselves now start preparing the squad for next season. 11 players we know now have been released. Two more, Anthony Hartigan and Shane McLaughlin, still in discussions for a new contract. In terms of numbers, finances and timescales, how do you now approach the task of recruiting for next season?
Well, we've been, that's what we've been doing. The last came on, we've been working hard, and obviously got lists and they change. They've been changing weekly. You started off thinking that, you know, you had a different budget than the one you ended up with now, and it might change again. So we're just getting people and speaking to people. I mean, you know, it's at the moment, obviously, the first thing I'll do is thank them players who were released. There's some big players and big characters, and it's disappointing, you know, I'd like to do it face to face. And the perfect world, as I said before, some wouldn't even be released. But that's where we are, and they're just, you know, the service they've given us has been brilliant. So we wish them all the best. And again, now we're just kind of, I don't think we'll be able to carry the same size squad. We signed a number of young players, which, I mean, to be fair, last year we gave a lot of debuts out, and it looks like, you know, we're, you know, when these must, we're going to probably rely on them a little bit more. But the key is to make sure that we have it's quality rather than quantity, and keeping players on the grass. So, you know, we're speaking to people, we've got irons in the fire. It's just knowing when we're coming back pre-season. That's probably the headache at the moment. You know, knowing we're not planning for that, which we've had a meeting this morning with the staff, but there's no start date on the season. So, you know, there's lots and lots of things that need sorting out.
They always say that these conversations with players, you know, let them know that they're not going to be with you for next season. It's always challenging. It's your first time as manager doing that at Wimbledon. Did you feel a little bit like this probably was the most challenging one to do, I would have thought, because I think you said in that there's probably some players that you wouldn't have released in a real, you know, in the environment. How did you deal with that? It must have been a really difficult one, because players released at this point of the season, it's going to be tough, isn't it?
You don't deal with it. You've got to be, you know, you've got to be honest and straightforward and upfront about it. And you know, the senior ones who really wanted to stay, and we wanted to stay. Some of the senior ones, that's a bit of pill for them to take, and for us. And over time, hopefully, you know, the key to it is there's so many players out of contract. We don't want, you know, we want them to get fixed up and be playing. And if they play against us next year, they come back and haunt us, then so be it. You know, the senior ones, you know, need to obviously got mouths to feed, and wives and families and mortgages, so they need to get working again and get employment. The younger ones is always hard because they have dreams and aspirations. But you know, again, you say to them, come back and haunt us, come back and bite us on the arse and show that we've made a mistake. It always happens, you know. So don't hide away and give up. You just keep going. So. It's not nice at all, Stuart. It's not nice at all. And while, you know, you're out there understanding, you're trying to explain it as best you know, and I've been on the end of it as well. You know what they think, you know where they are, and that's why, you know, it's horrible. And we, like I said, all we can do is wish them all the best, and then keep tabs on and see where they go.
So the rumours are that League One clubs will be, well, they're looking to be limited to a spend of 2.5 million on annual wages, possibly from next season. I know the EFL are looking at possibly bringing that in. Have we included a proposed salary cap into our thinking?
Well, first of all, the 2.5 million has come out of these meetings, which obviously the EFL is run by directors and chairmen of the clubs anyway. So, you know, they're all getting their heads together, which could be a good thing. How are they going to implement that when you're probably getting boys on 2 or 3 year deals? So, you know, it won't be next season. I can't see it being next season. You might have Sunderland players and Pompey players. You know, there may be players up for grabs. You'll get cheaper than you would have done this time last year. So you may want to tie them down for 2 or 3 years. You know, so I can't see that being next season. I think it's a lot of talking and organising and working that out for before they can implement that. And if it does, I mean, it's, you know, if it does and it brings it to 2.5, and we can get up there and compete, it levels the playing fields. And you know, and you know where you are, and it's down to your recruitment, it's down to the work that you do, down to your organisation and your work on the grass. So, you know, you can compete. At the moment, it's sometimes you go to places like Sunderland and Ipswich, and you know, you look at Ipswich at home, you looked at their bench, and like I said, you know, they're probably the wages on their bench probably covered our first team at that time. So it'd be nice to have an even playing field, but while they're saying it's 2.5 million, I'd like to see when and how they're going to implement it.
So I remember you saying when we spoke to you last time that you'd arranged, you know, pre-season was already in your plans, you'd arranged some games and stuff like that. I suppose, are you now looking at that again? I know we don't know when the season's going to start. We have a sort of like a September, October, stuff like that. But thinking that in mind, obviously Premier League clubs probably can't do their travelling like they do their season tours. Are you tempted to try and see if you can get some really big attendances down for Plough Lane?
Well, yeah, that's the key now. I mean, because it's now been late and later. Now, again, if you're saying it's October, then that means we won't be coming back in July. That means that the stadium and the pitch will be definitely, you know, 100% ready. We're hoping we do. And if we can get back to Plough Lane, and even if, you know, the surroundings aren't finished, the changing rooms and everything around it are, then we can. Yeah, we can definitely get some at home. It'd be brilliant. It'd be a shame. Obviously, you want the fans to be there, but we would need to play there. We would need to get a couple of training sessions and a couple of games in there. Definitely, you know, before the season starts. And again, whatever caliber of opponent, the better for us. But again, you know, it's needs and musts. We just got to organise. I think the majority will be away, as they always are. And if we can pencil in, and once we get the go ahead again, that's another thing that we're waiting on. Then we will definitely be playing at Plough Lane. It'd be great to get used to our surroundings, because it's going to be it's going to be strange playing without fans, but also a brand new stadium that we're not comfortable with yet. You know, so you know, as much time as we can spend down there, we will be doing it.
Great, thank you, Glyn. Thank you, Stu. You can listen to more of Glyn's thoughts on the season on episode 211 of the 9 Years Podcast, available on iTunes, YouTube, Spotify, and 9yrspodcast.org. Thank you for listening.